don't think there's any other drag racing event that you could go to that has this much focus on the kids and families.
Because that was our biggest goal, to be able to go to the track, mom or dad can race the same day.
There were families doing that.
Yeah, I know. Like
the Bakers were.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Bakers, mom, dad, both racing, both their boys racing. Yeah. That's awesome.
Like, when they were telling me that, I was like, how? But that's actually, you know, what we want to, you know, further promote, and we hope to see more families doing. Eat, Sleep, Race podcast. We're back with Alex Teeter, Teeterbilt Racing, and also our partner at Fastlife Fest. Welcome back.
Welcome.
And we're fresh off of Fastlife Fest. We just had a great event at Cecil County Dragway, our second annual event, partnered up with Farm Truck and Asian, Teeterbilt, Fast Kids Club, and Eat, Sleep, Race. We had some major improvements this year. I want to say it was an amazing event. What would you say in your perspective?
Oh, it was a great time. A lot of improvements from last year. I mean, we saw nothing but smiles all day, people having a great time, kids, adults. I mean, it's a great family fun event.
And you were primarily in the kids zone. We'll call it Power Wheel Kids Zone.
Yep, correct.
So where all the Power Wheel drag racing was happening. And I know we made significant improvements just in that area. Out of all the improvements that we made, what would you say were your favorite changes?
Yeah, I think the biggest improvement this year was having a schedule for the kids. So we did a schedule with set times for the stock class, modified class, and our outlaw class. With doing that, it gives everybody a chance to go see the other things, the junior dragsters, the car show, the drag racing, all the vendors. They can go see Farm Truck and Asian. That was one issue we had, you know, with our event last year was we weren't expecting how many kids, you know, that were there, and we didn't really have a time frame. So a lot of people were sticking around just waiting for their kid to race, and we didn't have a time to give them. So that was hard for a lot of parents, you know, because they're kids. So trying to keep their attention span, you know, there, it's you have a short window for that.
So this time around, I believe Outlaw went first, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So let's say the event started at 10 o'clock. Outlaw ran at what time?
Outlaw ran at 12. So we started at 12 with our Outlaw, which is something different as well. We usually start with our stock class, but doing our Outlaw this year, we wanted to show the spectators, the fans that traveled to see this Power Wheel racing, what it's all about.
So all the fastest cars raced first?
Yep. Yeah.
And would you say that was a good idea?
Yeah, I think it was a really good idea. Like in previous years that we've done things like this, is we always run Outlaw last, and that's usually we lose our crowd by then. By starting out with the stock cars, a lot of people see it, and then they think that's just how fast they go the whole day. And they're cool to watch for a while, but you know, seeing 100 stock cars going down the track can get a little boring.
And an Outlaw car is how many times faster than a stock car, you would say?
So your stock car is going 3 to 5 miles an hour, and your outlaw car, some of these cars are going just under 30 miles an hour, just over 30 miles an hour in 60 feet.
Like six times as fast.
Yeah, it's insane.
That's a huge difference. So definitely as a spectator, if it's my first time going to the race, seeing the outlaw class is a lot more impressive.
Exactly, and it's something I believe everybody needs to see, because like I know we've said it before, everybody talks, oh, what are you guys doing, Power Wheels racing? Some people giggle, you know, they laugh, they think it's funny. I'm like, dude, this is serious. This is a serious thing. Like a
and
lot.
It's fun.
And it's fun. Yeah. Like these cars are fast, and it's a lot. There's so much more to it, you know, than just going fast though too.
And then with the schedule, so the Outlaw was at 12. What was the schedule like the rest of the day?
Yeah. So Outlaw started at 12, and then we did our stock class, I believe, at 1:30. And that was kind of to give some of the kids a break between outlaw and modified, because some of our, or I would say most of our outlaw kids run in the modified class as well, just to get some more seat time, more practice on the tree.
How long did it take to finish the whole outlaw class?
So the outlaw class, we had a time frame or a time window of an hour and a half, and it took us just about an hour to get through. So it gave us a little bit of extra time between the stock class and the outlaw finishing, but we allowed some of the outlaw kids to make some more test passes, and we also did a few grudge races as well, just to put on a show.
So I also saw, I believe this was in between the two classes, farm truck race, the Brook.
Yep, yeah.
So there were some cool, you know, non-expected races that happened.
Yeah, it was a cool surprise for everybody to see, and especially for the kids seeing that. It brought a lot of spectators up there as well for them to be able to see what we do.
So that was one of the forms of extra entertainment that happened at the event, just in the Power Wheel section.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think the best part about what you said is, as a parent bringing a kid to participate in the event, last year you just showed up and had no idea when you were going to race.
Yep.
This year there's a schedule ahead of time. If you were in modified class, for example, even though the gates opened at 10 o'clock, you knew ahead of time that modified wasn't running until three o'clock,
I believe it was.
Yeah. 3 o'clock. So it's really up to the parent, like, hey, should we go later?
Yeah.
So, because we're not running till three, or should we go, you know, early? We could hang out the whole day, and then our kid's not going to race till 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
I think that's a great change and vision from your end to see from a spectator and a participant perspective, like, how do we improve this to make the day, you know, more enjoyable for the whole family?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it went really smooth doing it that way. You know, with last year, we just had a lot of questions at the table about, hey, when is my kid run? And I hate to tell them, you know, we're not sure, just kind of hang around. And I know that's hard on the kids to just hang around and wait.
So more of a reason, you know, to have even more kids there next year and more racers next year. It's way more organized.
Oh, yeah.
And there's expectation, and you know when you're going to race, and it's not going to, it really, you could plan your day out based on what the schedule ahead of time is.
Yeah. And with having, if you get there early as well and you're not racing till 3 o'clock, we have other things up in the kids zone. You know, we had the face painter up there, we had a caricature artist, which was incredible. A lot of the kids seeing them run around with their face painted. We also had the kids' car show up there too. So the kids could check that out, and it was awesome.
Bunch of modified cars. Well, not even cars, because I saw there was a truck, custom truck with a custom trailer with a custom race car behind it. So there were all types of things in that Power Wheel car show section. Some rare Power Wheels. I saw like a bunch of NASCAR cars there.
Yep.
So a lot of cars that you would not see anywhere else that were thankfully all on display in that car show area. And then, you can't forget, we also gave away a couple hundred of the Hot Wheels.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You built the ramp.
Yep, we had the Hot Wheel ramp for the kids to play on.
That was a hit.
Yeah, it was. It was a hit. Because every time we looked over there, it was filled with kids over there running their Hot Wheels down the track.
My son was one of them.
Yeah.
It was hard to even pull them away. And actually, it was kind of ironic because we were worried. We were like, man, there's a lot of kids here. Do we have enough Hot Wheels? It was actually funny to see. After the kids would race, they would leave the Hot Wheels there. And I'd actually have to run and go tell them, like, no.
Yeah, you can take these.
Yep. Like, take them with you. And they're like, you sure?
But it actually worked out cool because they were all taking turns, you know, sharing the cars. And
everyone's getting in line. It actually made me think. I was like, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to have another one of these.
Yeah, I think next year we'll definitely add a few of those.
Because it was at a point that I was like, there's like eight kids waiting to just get on this ramp over here.
Yeah, which is awesome.
And they're going round robin. They're dropping the cars, watching them race, getting another car, getting back in line. Oh, man, that was... So, way more activities in the kids' zone this year. And from a... promoter and production side of things, we had a few challenges. And when I always say challenges, because we made a bunch of investment this year into decorating the place and dressing it up and making the place look even more better. So that was one thing that we did last year. We had a lot of Fast Life Fest banners. And this year we wanted to have that impact of when you pull through those gates, we want you to know you're at Fast Life Fest. This is unlike any other event that you've been to related to drag racing and Power Wheel racing and car show. This is a totally unique event, but unfortunately, the 40-mile, 60-mile-an-hour hurricane-force winds did not let us set up a lot of the things that we invested in this year. So if you guys did show up this year, stay tuned, because we still have all those things that we invested into this year that we're going to be using at a future event. And to let everyone know, I've been getting a lot of questions and see it in the messages. When's the second event this year? Unfortunately, there isn't. We're doing it as an annual event. We had one in 2024. We just did, you know, the 2025 event. So if you really did enjoy Fast Life Fest that much, stay tuned until next year for the third annual. You know, a lot of talks happening internally of improving the event for next year. But before we even talk about, you know, future improvements, we got to talk about how great the event was this year, because we added a burnout contest. Did you get to see that?
So I got to see a little bit from up in the kid zone, just because I heard it and saw all the smoke.
That
was awesome. All the kids, we actually paused the racing for a minute and told everybody, hey, if you want to go see it, go ahead. These kids were running down there, and that's all they were talking about. Did you see the tires popping? Did you see all that smoke? Everybody loves a burnout.
I'm looking at Nick right now, because me and Nick were literally next to the cars without obviously, you know what's going to happen when they're doing a burnout. But I think it caught me and Nick off guard. Like, that first truck that went out, the amount of smoke that he put up, I was laughing, because on the right side of his truck was a wall with people standing. They were watching the race, and they're like, oh, burnout contest, cool. Dude, within the first 2 seconds of him lighting the tires up, the amount of smoke, these people didn't even realize, like, I can't breathe.
Yeah, literally. You couldn't even see the track. The starting line. I mean, that guy that did that burnout, that was awesome.
That was a massive burnout. And he actually asked right before he went up, he's like, could I pop the tires? I was like, if you're willing to, go for it. So he just kept going. I was like, he's not going to stop till these things blow. So at one point, I started telling people, like, back up, because these things are going to pop. Yeah. And for sure, he definitely ended up doing his thing.
Yeah, that was definitely a good addition, for sure.
It was funny, because after that, the amount of tire, like, Nick's face and Nick's clothes were covered in, like, black tire. Yeah. Without more black showing
up,
right? Yeah,
covered.
And walking, after the burnout contest, there were these two kids. I have them on video. We actually got to post this up as a reel, because these two kids were covered. Faces were just black. And I was like, were you standing right behind the wall? They're like, dude, it was sick. Like, they were so stoked. I was like, awesome. How are you breathing right now? Because I was having a hard time breathing with all that smoke, like, on the left side of it. These kids had a blast. I was like, ah, man, that's pretty awesome. And they're like, like, actually, we're going to go wash our faces right now, because they're like, we don't even know what we look like. Yeah. I took a picture and I showed it to them. They're like, dude.
was awesome.
Those two kids had a blast. I know they're never going to forget that. And then right after that, I'm sure you saw it.
That was a gender reveal burnout, wasn't it?
No, it was the dude wanted to do, like, red, white, and blue.
Oh, okay.
Like an American flag burnout.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So he had the red Mustang. And
we
then
just
immediately
saw, like, some blue from up in our area, and I was like, oh, that must be a gender reveal.
Left tire was red, right tire was blue.
That's
so
cool.
And then, like, right in the middle, initially when he started the burnout, it was white, so it was pretty epic. Just the red, white, and blue coming out. I was like, dude, this is the most American burnout ever. Cool. This is, like, the most patriotic burnout you could think of.
There was even a snowmobile doing a burnout.
Dude.
You want to hear something funny about that, too?
Yeah.
That was actually mine.
What?
I sold that to
the Arctic Cat?
Yep. I have to send you some videos of us riding that through the field. I didn't put the wheels on it. I sold it to them as a snowmobile, but they had bought it, and I remember telling us, we're going to turn this thing into a burnout machine. And there it was.
What a small world.
Yeah.
Because when I seen it pull up, well, first, I thought nobody was going to beat that white pickup truck with the amount of smoke that he put up. And then that red, white, and blue Mustang came through. I was like, all right, like, for me to vote between the two, because it was the crowd who judged who won, I was like, I kind of like this dude invested into these colored tires. Yeah. Like, I would have voted for him.
Yeah.
And then the snowmobile pulled up. I was like, dude, what is going on? We got some crazy things going on at this burnout contest right now. And then what's funny is, I guess she couldn't get traction. It was a girl.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, it was
she
a girl,
couldn't get
a girl
traction.
And a grandfather, I believe.
So two guys who were just hanging out, they were watching the races.
Yeah, they ended up holding her.
So I was like, yeah, we got some participation going on here. Because I just heard them whispering to themselves, like, yo, let's hold her down.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, that's actually not a bad idea. It was Fast Guy I guess one of his friends. So it was actually pretty cool. They actually tried to help her win it. it just wouldn't get traction. Just,
Too much traction there.
And then after that, we had one more car, but at the end of the day, I got to give it up. Yeah, that white pickup truck, he took the crown. Well-deserved win. So I love the Power Wheels racing. I love the burnout contest. But what makes me so proud of Fast Life Fest is the diversity that we have in the cars for drag racing specifically.
No, I agree.
We've got some crazy, fast, domestic, small-tire cars We had exotics there. We had crazy fast imports. We had a 7-second GTR there. Brooke Barini, she came all the way from, well, I know the car came all the way from Texas. She's from the DC area, but she shipped the car from Texas to get that car there. Obviously, Farm Truck and Asian came 26 hours away from Oklahoma City. And it just makes me so happy watching the racing, just seeing in the staging lanes all the different cars wait in a race and knowing, like, they're not here. This is not a test and tune. Yeah. Like, everyone's here to compete and everyone's having a great time.
Yeah.
And not to mention, it's no prep.
Yeah, which is cool.
To hear people were actually running, you know, their times, if not faster,
on that surface.
Yeah, so, Queen B Series, Erin, the Eat Sleep Race All Motor Car, mm-hmm. I remember she posted her time slip. Like, it was, if not the same as the time she ran on a prep surface. So, for anybody out there who thought about no prep drag racing, like, there were full out race cars at this event that normally only race at prep events.
Yeah, and they were working good.
And they were sticking and no issues. If anything, they were coming back saying they were having a great time. So I see the future is bright for the no prep drag racing program that we have happening at Fast Life Fest.
Yeah, I agree.
And the amount of diversity in the drag racing 100% carried over into the car show, because walking through that car show, seeing, you know,
to see everything. That's the coolest part.
Like, real deal, literally imported cars from Japan, fully modified JDM style to fully restored classics, you know, like, just seeing, walking through that car show, there's literally a little bit of everything in there, something for everybody.
Sure.
And then you get down to the food. Thankfully, we had some improvements this year, thanks to your help.
Yeah, yeah, we had the tacos truck. Big shout out to Taquiera Luis Suarez.
Sold out.
Yeah, they were so
busy.
My
biggest complaint with anything was the taco guy didn't come with enough food.
Yeah.
He didn't expect there were going to be that many people there.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember talking to him about it, and I told him how many people were going to come, and he said they prepared food, and then he had talked to his other business partner, so then they doubled the food, and then he had a talk with his business partner again, and then they quadrupled the amount of food they brought, and he said they came and were completely gone in, I think, 2 hours.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But we had a goal there to diversify the food, because you also got the shaved ice truck.
Yeah, yeah. We had the Kona ice, which was an awesome addition for the kids. They get their ice. They get to put their own flavoring on it. Because that was just one of the small complaints we had from last year, was just some of the food lines being over an hour long to get food. So with adding the taco truck and the Kona ice truck.
And then they ran their two food stands this time.
Yep, correct.
So we did have improvement on the food.
Yeah, so the food lines, from what I saw, they were very small compared to last year. People were able to get food pretty quickly, and now that's what we wanted, you know. We wanted them to be able to get food when they wanted. It's hard to sit and wait in a line for an hour when...
I get hangry.
Yeah, 100%.
And especially if you're competing.
Yeah.
Or you, you
and
know,
like
you...
last year, we didn't... If somebody wanted to get food, if they're waiting for an hour in line, they were afraid they would miss their race.
Yeah, no, that's not cool.
So that, with having the schedule, is big for that as well, because then you know, all right, we can get food between stock and modified,
or yeah,
from this time to this time, we have that window.
I liked it. Yeah, so huge improvements this year, and thankfully, way more people.
Yep.
It was, you know, the event grew.
Oh, it was packed. I looked down at one point again from our area, and I don't think I saw a seat in the stands open, which was very cool to see.
I think it's easy to say, you know, from the production side of things, we were very happy with how the event went, given the circumstances of, you know, besides the crazy hurricane force winds, and we couldn't set up on Saturday because the torrential downpour. So on the production side of things, it was kind of a headache before the event, but from the time the gate opened, and we actually opened the gates open 2 hours earlier. We weren't even supposed to open until 10, but the amount of people that showed up before the gates opened, we had to open at 8 to get the traffic off the road. And we have, you know, our notebook and our checklist of, you know, further improvements to make for the third annual event.
And that's something we'll touch on, you know, getting some of the cars into the gate a little bit quicker. But I think we have our solution for that.
Yeah, we have some good ideas on how to... further improve Fast Life Fest. But, you know, in all, thank you to everybody who came. Thank you to everybody who wishes they came, because that means that you're supporting what we're doing here. And, you know, we have a lot of big plans for growing this, you know, this unique event that world's largest power wheel drag race, oh, no prep far. Drag race in the car show, and just making it an overall the funnest drag racing event that we could make specifically for families, right? Like, yep. I don't think there's any other drag racing event that you could go to that has this much focus on the kids and families. Yeah.
Because that was our biggest goal. I mean, to be able to go to the track, mom or dad can race the same day as your kids. That's awesome.
There were families doing that.
Yeah, I know. Like
the Bakers were.
Yeah, I was just going to say Bakers, mom, dad, both racing, both their boys racing. Yeah. That's awesome.
Like, when they were telling me that, I was like, how? They're like, we're going to make it happen.
Yeah.
And actually the dad, he went a couple rounds.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Mom was taking care of the kids racing the modified class. I was impressed.
Yeah. It was cool to see that.
Yeah. Shout out to the Baker family. They definitely came with a strategy.
Yeah. They showed
whole
out.
Whole family too. Racing. But that's actually, you know, what we want to, you know, further promote. And we hope to see more families doing. Obviously, both me and you come from a racing background.
Exactly.
And now I could finally say my kid is racing. Yeah. Your kids have been racing for many years. You know, I got a kick out of it. Yeah. The way I could elevate it for myself, I'm making this a goal next year. I will be drag racing. Okay. I think I've figured out from the first 2 years, like, I'm running around like a chicken without a head.
Definitely, yeah.
The event started, but towards the end of the event, I actually have a little bit of time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and it'd be cool if you get out there and make it pass.
I'm gonna be on the track next year.
Have your boy there watching, and then you can come up and watch him.
It's a mission of mine. Yeah. Third annual event. I'm gonna be drag racing. Makoa's gonna be in an even faster car that you're gonna be building.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're gonna have him on kill mode for next year.
We got a lot of practicing, but we're already in talks of it because I already told you your next race. Yeah. I already put it in his head. I was like, do you want to race next year at Alex's next event? He's like, did you fix my car? Dude, he won't get over it. So, I'll talk about it. We posted the reel on the page ready. So, Makoa raced at that event. His car was malfunctioning. I thought it was driver error. I thought he was letting go of the gas pedal too early, but it was really the car cutting off.
Yep.
I already gave the car to you because...
Yeah. It was just older technology. You know, we built the car, I think, 2 years ago now, and just how much it's evolved since then. It's just... I mean, the things are evolving every week now, it seems like.
Yeah, we got to get into that.
Yeah.
So, Alex has the car. I asked my son, I was like, hey, do you want to race at the next event? He's like, did Mr. Alex fix the car? I was like, he fixed it. He's like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's go. He's ready now.
Yeah, I'm totally pumped that as a parent hearing, like, no, my kid wants to go. He's 100%. Waiting for his car to get done. So, very cool. And I hope this inspires other families to come participate. I already know in the background, I ran into a few people after the event, like, dude, I got to get my kid there. Like, yes, you do have to get your kid there. You got to come at least once. I can't tell you I met a kid or a family where the kid didn't enjoy, you know, the race.
Yep. They all had a blast.
Bring a stock car.
Yeah.
Try it.
Yeah. You don't have to be the fastest.
No.
You know? That's why we have three separate classes.
We've got the stock class. Literally, get your power wheel. Just come with a full charged battery.
Yeah, and just have fun.
You're ready to go. Yeah, that's all you need.
Talk to the parents. A lot of parents out there are very knowledgeable that we're all willing to help.
You're going to get the itch to start making it go faster.
Yeah. And then it's over.
Oh, I've seen it already because I saw it with myself. I thought, well, my son has a modified car with the drill battery in it. Watching all the other modified cars is like, I already told Alex, it's like, yo, you got to make this thing a little bit faster now.
That's one of the things that a lot of people, they're like, oh, man, we got the fastest car. And they come out and they see the class and everybody's heads are just, whoa. They're just completely blown away at, like, what you see fast at home looks a lot faster until they're around other kids. And you're like, it's just crazy to see.
I would say it's intimidating with a stock or modified car watching the outlaw class.
It can be. Yeah, it definitely can be.
Like I told you, I don't want my son racing outlaw.
Yeah.
Like he needs a whole lot more seat time before he's ready for an outlaw car.
I agree. Yeah.
So and I'm going to take him in stages.
Yeah. And that's for anybody. You need to have a lot of experience.
Don't just put your kid in an outlaw car.
I would never throw just like my son's been running outlaw for a while, but he has, not exaggerating, 1,000 plus passes on these cars that he races. He's been doing this since he was under 2 years old. And I know everybody wants to see their kid going fast and having fun, but you can have fun without being the fastest.
We see it in the stock class.
Yep. I mean, a lot of the kids in the stock and the modified have more fun than some of the kids in the outlaw do, just because, you know, some of the
cars more reliable.
Yeah, cars more reliable, and it's, you know, sometimes the kids don't want to go that fast. It's more of an ego thing with the parents.
Yeah,
that we try to.
I could see that.
Yeah, that we try to. That's a whole nother discussion, but.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, hey, man, if this car is too fast, keep the kid in a modified.
And that's what we just tried to implement this year. It was just the safety rules and just really implementing experience. It's nothing against anybody or anybody's child or car or build. We just want them to be safe. You know, we've had some close calls, I would say, which made us implement all these safety rules that we've changed with adding the brakes and adding these kill switches and stuff like that. It's to eliminate all of those issues from happening. When we started this, we never saw these cars going that fast. They're just a little plastic car with plastic gears. Now they're going, some of these cars are 60 footing what a 10 second dragster can do in the quarter mile.
I think a good comparison I could put it to is like the outlaw class at this point is like Top Fuel.
Yep.
At NHRA.
We would say like the Top Fuel or the Pro Mod class for
right.
sure. Like that's the pro, like, because with these cars, they're making a pass or two or three, and they're braking, and you're fixing the gears. I mean, these Pro Mods and Top Fuel, what are they? They're doing about the same thing, getting a few passes in and rebuilding the motors, and obviously a lot more expense level. But it's kind of goes along with the same thing.
And not every person who's drag racing wants to be in a Pro Mod or a Top Fuel. So you got to look at it the same way for the Power Wheels.
It's not for everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's
there's something for everyone, and that type of speed is not
like
for
your
everybody.
Your stock class is for everybody. Your modified class is for everybody with experience. Your outlaw is not for everybody, but it can be. You just got to really practice a lot, I would say, and to make sure your kid is safe in the car, that they can control it, because they can get at pretty out of hand quickly if you don't have them set up correctly.
Since the last time we had you on the podcast, over a year now, there's been a crazy amount of innovation in the realm of modifying these Power Wheels. What would you say is the greatest innovation?
I think the best innovation we've done is adding the actuator brake on these cars. So the actuator brake, what we call, is a lift style brake. It lifts the car off the ground. You have to, again, a lift style brake would go on a car with a driver that has experience. You need to be able to stop the car straight, or it can get out of hand as well. But with the lift style brake, it's picking the car off the ground. So if there was a stuck throttle, if a throttle was to go bad, or you had an issue stopping, the wheels are going to be off the ground and they're still going to be spinning. So that was an issue before that we had, and I try to stress to these parents, like with my son, we had a pedal stick on his car before and we couldn't get it to stop. Luckily he was okay, but it was a big wake-up call for us and just a lot of these parents, that even some of the best drivers, it could happen to anybody. You know, it's these are electrical parts that are moving and can fail. So adding this lift brake eliminates all of that. And if you're interested in setting something up like that, you could reach out to myself, or we have some tutorial videos on YouTube that show you setting them up.
And is that brake specifically for outlaw cars, or even modified cars using that?
Even modified cars are using them. I would highly recommend them on any car that has a first gear delete, because with removing first gear, you have no, there's a lot more rolling resistance. So when you let off the gas, they just want to go. They just want a free spin. And with adding that brake, we're using a quick actuator, so it hits the ground within a second. These cars could be going 30 miles an hour at 60 feet, and at 70 feet, they're stopped on a dime, which is crucial for some of these kids.
I have also seen other brake setups, like somebody had a 3D printed disc brake setup.
Yep. Yeah.
So there's
tons of options.
There's
out
options
there.
Yeah. For braking now.
Because the lift brake isn't for everybody, I would say. I really like it, but there's some parents that don't like it, just because there is that very small chance of the car tipping on its side at the end of the track if they were to turn. So when you're slowing down with a lift brake, you have to be going straight. Like when I tell Trevor every time, when you let off the gas at the end, let the car calm down for a second, then get on your brake and it stops instantly. It's that fear of, like, if, you know, with
the kid needs to be able to take direction.
Yes, exactly. And your kids should not be running Outlaw if they don't understand that or right. understand how
you
the car.
You can't clearly communicate with
yes,
them.
Yes, 100%. I mean, right. they can be very unsafe without experience. You know,
the Outlaw cars.
The Outlaw cars.
Right.
Now, you need to have experience. And, you know, some of these parents, they see these cars and they just want to start their kid out in Outlaw because they want them to be at the top. But like I said, it's seat time is key.
So how do you activate the lift brake?
So for the lift brake, there's a few different ways you can wire it up. On Trevor's car, we have it set up using a reversing relay and a factory pedal switch. So when he goes down the track, he has a separate brake pedal that he hits, and he has to hold it down, and that just activates the brake and lifts the car up. Another way you can do it, which I know some people prefer this way, they'll have like a pull-push kill switch that's right by the child's hand, and they'll just pull that up or push it down, and that'll kill power to the motors, to the car, and then give power to the actuator to push it down. Now, the only reason I don't like using that is because we add the additional pedal, you know, a brake pedal, so that the kids can learn how to use a brake. So if they're going to the next program, junior dragsters, quarter midgets, go-karts, anything like that.
Muscle memory on the foot.
Yes. Brake, you have to use the brake. And that's one of the biggest things, you know, you need to know how to use that. So I feel like if you're starting out in Power Wheels racing, getting the kids to learn how to transfer their foot from the gas to the brake pedal is crucial. Because if you burn into their head every time, hey, you're just going to push this button to stop the car.
Right.
What do you think is going to happen when they get into a junior dragster or something like
and
that?
And there's no button.
Yeah, they're going to be looking for the button. So that's why I like putting it on the brake pedal itself. But we have his wired so it's on the brake pedal, and it's also teed into the kill switch as well. So if some reason the brake pedal was to fail, he can push the kill switch, which will push the brake down and then also kill power to the car. And we have a wiring diagram on that as well that we can show how it's done for that.
Would that be on your YouTube channel?
Yeah, that can be on YouTube on Trevor's Fast Life page. That goes a little bit more in depth with just the wiring side of it to make it work with the reversing relay, because that's powered by a separate M12 battery that we have. So I know some guys will use like a step down battery to power the brake, which works as well. So then you're not dealing with two batteries. But I just like doing it this way by using a separate battery, so then we're not pulling any voltage from our battery that's powering the car itself.
And then there's also other options for brake setups. There's the 3D printed caliper with the disc brake. Yep. And then there's another setup that I believe Bill makes, right?
Yeah, Mr. Bill, shout out to him. He makes the mechanical brake setup, which is based off of an old style go-kart brake. It's just paddles that when you press the brake pedal, it's a mechanical setup. So it's a spring-loaded pedal. You press the brake and there's paddles that actually go down and hit the tires to slow it down, which it works very well. We had that on one of Trevor's cars, and we really were happy with it. I know a lot of people are running that brake as well. I guess the only disadvantage of that brake is it has a little bit on the heavier side versus the 3D printed setup or the lift actuator, but it works phenomenal. I mean, it's been proven on go-karts for years.
You know, I'm happy to hear all this improvement with safety, because you know it, 2 years ago, I put the fire under you. Like, yo, Alex, we got to figure something out here, because how are we going to build a program or build anything related to, you know, getting other people to race at? Brakes didn't exist two years ago.
No, they didn't. And our biggest thing, we were trying to have a race program that didn't have a million rules. We didn't want to have, you have to have this and you have to have that. And it cost an astronomical amount of money to get into it. That's what we were trying to avoid. So that's kind of why we started with what we did, pretty much just heads up. But like you said, I mean, with all the innovation, the rules that we've added are only safety things. So, I mean, if you have an issue with that, I mean, I think there's other issues there, because this is just safety for your child. That's all it is. It's not to slow anybody down or to affect anybody's racing. It's just safety.
What I love about your community that you built related to the Power Wheels racing is the community are innovators themselves.
Yep.
So, you know, it's not just, of course, you were the pioneer and in a lot of the modifications here, but there's other parents out there who are also innovating beyond what you've been able to come up with on your own. And, you know, that also is amazing too, because it's there's options out there. Like, this is what works for us, but you could either use something else or you can make something else for yourself.
And that's what's really cool about the sport now. Like, I would say a year ago, the only cars we saw out there racing was a Lightning McQueen or a Corvette. Every other race, Corvette, Lightning McQueen, Corvette, Lightning McQueen. And then it was, people were painting them and wrap. But how many things can you really do to a modified Lightning McQueen or Corvette to make it stand out from another car? So, you know, with this year coming, I mean, we've seen so many different cars out there. Between all the knockoff ride-on cars, I would say, that are on Amazon and stuff, we've found ways to modify those. And we've seen a lot of different cars out there. We've seen Porsches, BMWs, Mercedes. I know you got that Viper for your son, which is very cool as well. You don't see any of those. But we've saw some monster trucks. I mean, there's a lot of different cars out there this year.
So when this just started years ago, it was only Mattel Power Wheel cars that you guys were modifying.
Yep.
But help me understand, what's the difference in modifying these non-Mattel ride-on cars versus the Power Wheels? Because prior to now, the way that you were modifying the Mattel cars with the drill battery setups, you couldn't plug and play that into a non-Mattel ride-on cars.
No, before, you know, we thought the only way to go fast in a Power Wheel was with a 7R gearbox, which is out of a Power Wheel brand car. So I kind of had it burned into my head, this is the only way you're going to go fast in a Power Wheel. So we ended up cutting up all these Mattel or knockoff cars to fit these good gearboxes in.
And we call them knockoff cars because they're not Mattel.
Yeah, because we use the term, you know, Power Wheels as the term for the cars. Just because when we say kids racing, it's very broad.
Right.
Is that go-karts? Is that motorcycles?
Right.
So that's, like you said, when
so the generalized term, you know, is Power Wheel, but there's so many other brands of kids ride-on cars that are not Mattel.
Yeah. Yeah, like when we say Power Wheels racing, it's not, it doesn't have to be a Power Wheels brand car to come out. We're just referring to it as, you know, that style of a car. Kids ride-on car, kids Power Wheel.
And they all use different gearboxes, is what
correct.
You're saying.
Yeah, so like all the Power Wheels brand cars all have a basic 7R gearbox. And then these non-Mattel cars, they have this, what we call is like a three-gear gearbox. We call it the funky gearbox because it just looks funky.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot smaller. And we've just found a way to make those a lot faster.
Are you sharing that information?
Yep. Yeah, I have a video that's actually gonna be out on our YouTube as well that shows you how to build all of those cars that are not made by Mattel.
So does every brand, let's say brand A, brand B, brand C that are not Mattel, everyone has a different gearbox?
They're all pretty much using the same casing. It's all made in China. It's 99% of it is the same wiring, the same gearbox, the same wheel adapter. It's just a different manufacturer making them.
So the video that you're making is, you know, if you watch this video, you should now be able to modify any non-Mattel
car. Yeah, it covers pretty much every non-Mattel car so that we can continue to keep growing the sport and see different cars out there.
That was actually a huge concern that you brought up years ago to me. You're like, hey, they announced that they're going to stop making Power Wheels. Like,
that's what we were worried. We were really worried because I said, you know, these Lightning McQueens and the Corvettes that are good for drag racing are super hard to find. What are we going to do in a year or two if none of that is available?
But now there's a solution.
Yep, now there's a solution.
Very cool.
And it's a much easier solution, you know, to be able to get one of these cars and build one.
Question I get all the time, how much does it cost to build one of these fast Power Wheel cars?
So
could you break it down for us from stock modified Outlaw?
Yeah, so getting into the stock level could be anywhere from free to $500, I would say, depending.
And why do you say that?
But I'm only saying that because depending on which car you choose. Now, people give these cars away for free all the time. I would recommend just finding one for free. Finding
on Facebook
one,
Marketplace.
Yeah, go on Marketplace, get one.
Garage sale.
Yeah, garage sales, yard sales. They're pretty much everywhere. Just try it out there. I mean, there's cars that you can buy. When I say $500, because there's stock cars out there that are luxury ride-on cars, you know, that are $500+, but I would highly suggest not doing that, you know, if you're just getting into it and want to see if your kid likes it or not, because it isn't for everybody.
But there are families out there who, you know, they got gifted the G-Wagon or the Mercedes.
Oh, and that's cool. You know, bring it out. We love to see that.
Yeah. Like, I even remember I gave you one of my my godson's Lamborghini before he had this from 10 years ago. Yep. But it was one of those things, like, when he was 2 years old, I got him this Lamborghini off the shelf, you know, a couple $100.
Yeah, for sure.
No idea about power wheel racing back then. Yeah. But same thing, like, I'm sure these things are all in existence. And the reason why people are giving them away, we all know as families with kids, these things take up a lot of room.
They do.
So if once the kid outgrows it, like, I'm either going to throw this out or give it to somebody else.
Getting it gone.
And you at one point had, you know, kept running into these people, giving away. You had a couple dozen in your garage, if not backyard.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Had a big collection of them, but we, you know, acquired.
You spreaded the love and gave them out to different people.
Yeah, we had
or
a ton
cars.
Of them and just distributed them out to a lot of people that were looking to race with us just to grow our program, to get more kids competitive out there.
So now let's go into the modified class. So you have the car already. No matter how much, if you got it for free or you paid whatever for it, how much does it cost to modify an existing car?
Yeah, so to modify a car that you already have, entry level into the modified class, guys are just putting a drill battery on, which most people have those laying around. You could put that on at no cost, or, you know, you purchase a drill battery. It gets a little bit more in depth with like the gear deleted stuff. You're going to have to buy gear deleted plates, switch over the wiring.
So let's go back. To just change it into the drill battery, you said could cost nothing if you already own a battery.
Yeah, if you already own a drill battery and own a car, you know, you could get into there at an entry level for nothing.
Well, you do need something. You got to get the wiring, if not, right?
Yeah, I mean, but I'm talking if you're just putting a drill battery just on the car the way it is. You don't switch anything. Now, you're not going to be very competitive like that, but to be able to just put a drill battery on, you can just cut the ends off of the harness and just literally just put them right into the battery.
And you got a tutorial for this?
Yeah, we got a tutorial.
Like the most simple way to put a drill battery?
Yeah, super simple to just put a drill battery on. And then it gets a little bit more in depth, you know, with the gear deleted stuff, which we have some videos on that walk you through building a competitive modified car to be top of the field in the class.
So how much is just competitive modified car?
Competitive modified car, I would say, are around $400, $500.
And what are you spending that $400 on?
You're spending it on gear deleted plates, wiring, thicker wires. You're going to want a forged battery, a Milwaukee forged battery, which those can be $250 alone. And then the other stuff is small knickknack stuff. If you're doing it yourself, it doesn't cost too much. Because you're putting foam on your tires, you're redoing your wiring, like I said, with the thicker wire, and you're getting a solenoid, which isn't very much. I believe they're about $30. So you'd be all wrapped in around $400, like you said.
And this is doing everything yourself.
Yeah, and this is doing everything yourself.
Now, top of field modified, how much?
Top of the field modified, I say $400 to $600. You know, it just, a lot of guys are going over to dual motor now in the modified class, so it's just, you know, twice as much motors, a little bit more wire, things like that.
So, extra $100 to be top of field.
Yeah, not bad. And just experimental. You're going to have to experiment with your gearing and stuff like that to be able to be at the top of the class.
What is the cost to race?
The cost to race? So, it has been free.
Well, I'm saying like for a race weekend, for example, because, you know, obviously families look at this as if you're racing quarter midgets, for example, you have your budget set aside for obviously repairs, extra parts that you need. What would you say for Power Wheels? Because I want to say that it's very low entry and low budget compared to any other type of motorsport racing.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's very, very low budget to be able to.
So if you bring your car that you just spent $400 or $500 modifying, am I expecting after a race that weekend, like, I'm going to have to dump another $500 into it?
No, not at all. I mean, we usually typically bring like a spare gear box with us and spare gears or spare motors, but when you have it set up right,
they don't break like
that. They don't break. No. And even the modified cars, yeah, like our the modified class, like I said, they are set up correctly. They are super reliable. And they're not really breaking. Not saying they don't break, but they are pretty strong.
Another reason why power wheel drag racing is a fun and affordable way for a family to get involved into racing. You know, the stock class, you don't have to spend anything.
No.
You know, if you get a car for free, if not for very low costs, get a deal and get out there, race, and have a great time with your family. Yeah. And literally, it's a race weekend or a race day. You bring the whole family, grandparents, everybody's watching your kid race. They're learning how to actually how to race on a drag tree because reaction time, everything is recorded because of the timing system that you developed. And then modified class, spend a couple $100 so the kid could go faster. But again, it's not that much compared to other forms of racing. Yeah. How much does it cost to build an outlaw car?
Outlaw car, I would say $600 or more. $600 being the low end of it, you doing everything yourself. And then kind of could go wherever. It just depends how much you want to go with it. I mean, on Trevor's car, to get it to where it's at, I would say around $1,000, and you're running top of the field.
Wow.
In the car, or maybe not even that much, honestly. But it kind of, it depends with which way you go with your motors. There's different motors you can buy. There's motors you can buy for $799. There's motors you can buy for $20 a piece. There's motors you can buy for $180 a piece.
Honestly, that's cheaper than building a really fast RC car.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, you can build an outlaw car for a lot cheaper than what you would build a fast RC car.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So, well, because of the low cost to enter this form of racing, I see the potential of this new sport that, you know, that we've all come to establish as pioneers in the sport. I see the future of it growing. Definitely. Because like I said, a family could have a full race weekend for either nothing or close, or, you know.
And you don't need a big trailer or anything to bring these cars in. I mean, obviously, if you're running 10 cars.
Oh, I've seen some innovative ways how these parents transport cars.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, you could – we brought, you know, the kids' cars in the back of my wife's RAV4 before we were raised. We put a basket on the back and put the car on the back. I mean, you keep it simple. You don't need a big trailer for this. I mean, you can, but it's really not needed.
Part of the spectacle of going to one of these events is in the parking lot of the event itself, because I'm actually out there getting content, seeing how these parents roll in with these cars. Like, I've seen regular, you know, 2-4-door cars with hitches on the back with the power wheel, you know, right on top of it. I've seen cars with the power wheel strapped on top of the car and they ratchet it around. Yeah. I've also seen a pickup truck that used a painter's drying rack.
Yes, yeah.
And they put two levels of cars.
Yeah, they're awesome. Oh, looks so cool. It gotta look so cool driving down the highway like that.
Yeah. I actually wanted to see them on the highway getting a roller shot of that. Yeah. Like, dude, what are people thinking watching these, you know, these cars coming by carrying these modified power wheels? Like, what is going on? Well, get ready to see more of it because, you know, what's happened here primarily in the Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland area, I see it, you know,
trickling out.
I just saw somebody announced, I saw a flyer on Instagram. It's actually a nice flyer. It said stock and modified power wheel drag racing class, I think somewhere in the Midwest.
Yep. Yeah.
I was like, that's cool seeing that.
Yeah, it is cool.
You know?
Yeah, and they're using like the rules that I created. So, you know, when it comes time for us to travel and do things like that, you don't have to build a whole new car.
And congratulations, you know, the explosion of the amount of exposure that you got on social media, millions of views, you know, not only on your page, on, you know, obviously Fast Kids Club, Eat Sleep Race page, other social media pages on what you guys have built has now opened up more opportunities. Like, you're going to be on the Pink's TV show.
Yep. Yeah.
And letting everyone know out there, if you're looking for entertainment, Alex is for hire.
Yeah, I'm available.
He's able to put together, you know, a program to provide entertainment at larger events. You know, obviously not for free.
Yep.
You know, this is something that
we have a few
different
packages we can offer.
Yeah. And you actually have a formal package that you can set up. And, you know, this is, it's as entertaining as it is in person as it is on social media.
Oh, it's incredible to see. Some days I wish I could sit back and be a spectator and just enjoy it, like, from a spectator's point, because it's so fun watching these kids. I always try to escape from behind the table a little bit to go talk to the kids and give them, you know, wish them good luck and stuff like that.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah, I love seeing it. You know, a lot of smiles, a lot of good sportsmanship out there.
I'm very proud of everything that you've accomplished in this realm thus far, and especially like with a lot of the headache conversations that we've had 2-3 years ago. Like, man, what are we going to do? How do you fix this? How do you do that? You know, like naturally we've all progressed in creating something here, and Fast Life Fest wasn't even an idea 3-4 years ago. Yeah. And now, you know, we're actually building a true formal event that people from all over are traveling to. And it's truly something that I hope anyone watching this, if you haven't come to one of our events in the past, I hope you're able to come to one in the future. It's going to be one of the funnest events, drag racing events that you'll ever go to. So, big news from the Teeterbilt program. The Eat Sleep Race Power Wheel used to be the world's fastest power wheel.
And it's been holding it down for a while.
But I got news that there's a new faster car. And tell me about it and tell me why it is faster than the Eat Sleep Race car. Like, what did you do different?
So it's ideally the same setup, but we've been playing with some gearing a little bit on it. And we're going to kind of keep that disclosed for now. But we have a setup on it that we've been doing some innovation with that we believe is going to be stronger and more reliable for Outlaw, and it's faster. So we've been doing some numerous testing, and if we can get the car to hook, as you saw in some of these videos, it's blowing the tire apart. It's going to be an absolute rocket ship because it's doing what the Eat Sleep Race car is doing now, but spinning the whole track.
Wow.
So if we can get it to hook and stay together, I think we're gonna have a, you know, a 9-second power, or you know what a 9-second drag car would do in a 60-foot, but in a power wheel.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And
the G forces it's pulling is insane.
What's needed to get the traction? Is it prep? Is it
so we use Pimp Juice traction, you know, mainly for that, but with the issue with the prep is when if it's too sticky, then it's breaks instantly on the line. So we're trying to find that happy medium of a little bit of prep or just the right compound of the tire. So that's kind of been our battle now. We've been experimenting with foam, bike tire, all different kinds of rubbers, and keep kind of striking out there. But we have some new material we just got over the weekend from a supplier, and I'm 99.9% sure this is our ticket.
So you got to change the tires.
Yep. Yeah. So we've been experimenting with just the wheel, with the compound on the wheel, and I think we're about there. So
that's kind of nuts.
Yeah. So we're gonna do some testing this weekend, and fingers crossed, it's gonna dig deep into the ones.
Big things coming ahead for Teeterbilt Racing, the whole Power Wheel program.
Yeah. Big things.
A lot more racing this year.
Yep. Ton of racing.
A lot more racing from this year up until the next Fast Life Fest.
Definitely.
And
we want to keep these races going between Fast Life Fest so we can build, you know, so these kids can get seat time for Fast Life Fest. They're going to keep getting more practice in between. And with Fast Life Fest being our biggest event, we want all the kids to be able to come out swinging.
And all eyes on Fast Life Fest,
yeah,
right?
Definitely.
If you're building something, build it with aspiration that you got to bring
definitely.
It to Fast Life Fest.
It's like, you know, it's like the World Cup of Power Wheels.
That's
You do not want to miss it.
Alex, appreciate you being on this episode.
Yeah, thanks.
If you guys
want
to follow Alex on social media, what are they doing?
Check us out on Instagram at Teeterbilt Racing, or all of our tutorial videos are on YouTube at Trevor's Fast Life. And if you want to stay up to date with our Power Wheels racing schedule, that's on our Teeterbilt Racing page, as well as our informational page on Facebook under Oxford Power Wheels Racing.
Awesome. I'll definitely be at the next event. Follow Alex on social media. And if you guys like this episode, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Till the next episode, appreciate you guys.